Christ.
Sorry for them, and sincerely
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro. It's printed in your bulletin. I call to God, and He hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord,
and He will sustain you.
Give ear to my prayer, O God,
and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
My heart is in anguish within me.
The terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fear and trembling come upon me,
and horror overwhelms me.
But I call to God,
and the Lord will save me.
I call to God, and He hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord,
and He will sustain you.
Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
questions 21 and 22 from the Catechism. How did sin enter God's creation? The devil brought sin into the world by tempting Adam and Eve, who willingly yielded to the temptation. We would suggest that you read Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, about the fall into sin of our first parents. 1 John 3. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. Question 22. How did Adam and Eve's disobedience affect us? In Adam and Eve's sin, the entire human race also fell into sin. We call this original or inherited sin. Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Then they suggest that you read John 3, verse 6, and Ephesians 4, verse 22. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why is this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, and the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can we say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And they are ashamed when they have committed abomination. No, they were not all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Here is the Old Testament reading. Continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
From your presence, let my vindication come.
Let your eyes behold the right.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 9th and 10th chapters. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained the righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were written, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. For they are being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia in verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel is written in the 19th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 41. He saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, and now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he went into the temple and began to drive out those who had bought and sold in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it in a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe on the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. prayer that you have made in the den of thieves. The theme is, God dwells in you through faith in the gospel. The grace, mercy, and peace of Jesus Christ rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus' prediction of the destruction of the temple was one of the most controversial prophecies. It filled his disciples with wonder and his enemies with anger. The idea that the temple would be destroyed was offensive to the religious elites because the temple was set apart the Jewish people from all the other nations. God dwelt in the temple. To say that the temple would be destroyed was equal to claiming that God would abandon Israel. Jerusalem was God's holy city, and the temple was God's chosen dwelling place above the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus prophesied that the city of Jerusalem, along with the temple, would be destroyed. How can this be? Did not God command the temple to be built? And did he not precisely instruct the priests on how to perform sacrifices and services to him in the temple? Did he not promise the people of Israel that he would be their God and dwell with them in the temple and accept their sacrifices from them? Yes, indeed, God did all these things. Nevertheless, the dwelling in the temple was not the end. Instead, God's dwelling in the temple and the sacrifices took place there were shadows of what was to come. You see, Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. In him dwells the full Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ, true God in human flesh, is the fulfillment of the temple. And Christ's self-sacrifice on the cross was the fulfillment of all the sacrifices performed in the temple. When Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, there was no longer any need for the shadow, because the substance had arrived. Also, God's presence was not restricted to the temple against his will, as if God had been caged in a building of stone made by man. Rather, God blessed the people of Israel with his presence through the gospel, which can only be received through faith. You see, the sacrifices in the temple were meant to be a proclamation of the gospel, which can only benefit those who believe. Performing rituals is not enough. Without faith, God will not abide. This is what the prophet Isaiah wrote. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would have built for me? And what is the place of all my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God makes clear that a temple will not benefit the people if they do not repent of their sins and listen to his word with proper fear. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So you see, God dwells in those who fear his name. Isaiah goes on to say, he who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering, like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense, like one who blesses an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their admonitions. I also chose harsh treatment for them, and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I did not delight. These are quite notable words from the prophet Isaiah. He basically runs through the book of Leviticus and condemns those who perform the ceremonies commanded by God through Moses. How can this be? How could God be displeased with sacrifices which he himself commanded? Because they did them as their soul delighted in admonitions. They had no faith in the God of Israel. They thought God would be pleased simply by outward acts. Meanwhile, they went and worshipped other gods. They committed adultery, slander, and theft. They followed their own hearts and did not fear the Lord. So God did not accept their offerings. He regarded them as he did Cain's. It is exactly as King David said in Psalm 51, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And these words from the prophets and your Lord should teach Christians today on how you should regard your church buildings and our religious actions. You know, it's really easy to become obsessed with a church building because Christians desire to present their best to the Lord. Many church buildings are beautiful and show magnificent architectural skills. And when you add on the emotional pull, when you are married in a church building, when your children are baptized in it, when your parents are married there, and your children, and so forth, the building becomes even more special. Churchgoers are known to worship the building instead of the God to whom the building is dedicated. If God warned through his prophets to not worship the temple or trust in it, which was a much more magnificent building than any church you've ever seen, then you too should take heed not to worship this or any other church building. Likewise, you should pay close attention to your worship. Simply showing up to church and carrying out the motions is not what makes one a Christian. It is faith in Christ. God saw the priests and the people come to the temple and perform the ceremonies that he commanded. Nevertheless, he saw in their hearts that they were far from him. They did not listen to his word. They did not trust in him. When you come to church to worship, you should keep in mind that you come to worship Christ, to receive forgiveness and salvation from him, and to learn from him. Jesus says, "My house shall be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." Obviously, you can see the connection between those who sell in the temple and robbers. These sellers were cheats. They took advantage of the pilgrims traveling to perform their vows to the Lord. They overpriced their goods. Besides that, the temple was no place to carry out such business, let alone a place to cheat and to steal. Nevertheless, the greatest robbery was not the unfair prices of doves and sheep or dishonest exchange rates for currency. No, the greatest robbery was performed by the priests and the Pharisees who taught lies to the people and left them ignorant to the gospel. Jesus quoted Jeremiah 7, where God warned against the deceptive words of the priests who promised that God was pleased with the people, saying, "The temple is the Lord's, the temple of the Lord, even as they made their offerings to Baal, stole, murdered, and slandered. God said to them, that spoke deceptive words, and then accused them of turning his house into a den of robbers. That is the robbery that God is most concerned with, the robbery of God's word from the ears and the hearts of his people. And this is demonstrated by Jesus, who cleansed the temple not simply by turning over tables, but by daily teaching the people in the temple. Jesus says that, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The temple made of stones was destroyed in 70 AD, and it has not been rebuilt. However, Jesus did not mean the temple made by human hands. He meant his own body, which was torn down and buried in the tomb. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus did not abandon his human flesh, but forever the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ, your brother and Savior. How can you doubt God's love for you when he forever shares your flesh and blood, having redeemed you with his own blood? Still, you cannot ascend to heaven to see Jesus. Jesus must descend to you, and he does so through the Word. God dwells in the hearts of believers who hang on Jesus' words, just as they did when Jesus taught in the temple. That is what Jesus taught you by teaching in the temple. Now the building of the temple is gone, but Jesus' words are still spoken. So where Jesus' Christians gather to hear his word, there God makes his dwelling place. St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus that Christ dwells in your heart through faith. In fact, he teaches you that through the knowledge of the love of God in Christ Jesus, the whole fullness of God fills you, and you are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. The dwelling place of God upon earth is in the hearts of believers, those who fear his name, those who hear his word, and those who believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior. This body of Christ is called the Holy Christian Church. It is invisible, because only God can see the faith in the heart of a believer. And an unbeliever is not going to believe that God dwells in a Christian, because his eyes cannot see it. This is why it depends upon faith. This is why you confess in the creed that I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. You confess your faith in the one church of Christ, just as you confess that Christ himself sits at the right hand of God the Father, although you cannot see it. Yes, the church is invisible, but it does not mean you cannot find it. Many Christians have been fooled into believing that you do not need to go to church to be a Christian, because after all, God does not dwell in buildings made by human hands. The church is invisible. Jesus dwells in your heart. If it does not dwell in the heart apart from the hearing of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The church was gathered in the temple where Jesus was teaching his people. The church always gathers where Christ's words are spoken. So although you rightly say that the church is invisible and that God dwells invisibly in the hearts of believers, you also rightly say that the church is where the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and where the sacraments are rightly administered. For Jesus is proclaimed as crucified for the sins of all people and raised for the justification of all. Where people are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in order to be reborn as a child of God. Where Christ's true body and blood are fed to his Christians in the sacrament of the altar. That is where Christ's church is, because that is where Jesus promises to be, even to the end of the age. So the message of Jesus today is not that we should not go to church buildings to worship, but rather we should worship God instead of the buildings. And church buildings used for the gathering of Christ's church should be frequently cleansed. All idolatry and worldly lust should be swept out of them, and the pure gospel of Christ Jesus should be taught, so that God may dwell in the hearts of his people through faith. The purpose of churches is not to give practical advice on how to live a moral or successful life in this world. No, the purpose of the churches is for Christ Jesus to be proclaimed as crucified, so that sinners may know that you have a gracious God who forgives you. Dear saints in Christ, churches exist so that Christians may depart with Christ dwelling in their hearts through faith, so that Christ Jesus may live in them and through them as they pour out the love of God to their family and to their neighbors. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, who said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." This prophecy is fulfilled by the preaching of the gospel, which is spread to all nations, so that wherever the gospel is proclaimed, people lift up acceptable prayers to God. May God dwell in all your hearts through faith in the gospel, so that this house may always be a house of prayer, and may its walls crumble and fall before the gospel ceases to be preached in it. Amen.
Amen.
All the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
people according to their needs. Gracious Father, we give thanks for Christ Jesus, in whom we receive the things that make for peace. Keep us trusting in him and eagerly expecting his final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you execute justice for the oppressed and uphold the poor in mercy. Cause your spirit to dwell in your church, that we may not lie about our sins or defile your temple, but follow your ways by caring for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, defending the blood of the innocent, and turning it from all other gods. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you reject the wisdom of this world and the foolishness of our sinful minds. Turn us away from the lies of sinful men, and by your word return us to your truth, that we may find everlasting peace. Lord, in your mercy, bring about your good and gracious will. Bless those to whom you have given authority in our government to break and hinder the plans of the wicked, and encourage whatever is right and good. Lord, in your mercy, deliver your servants from every bodily evil and soul. Provide for those in need and grant endurance to the afflicted, including your dear children, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lisha, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tim, Tony, the Langton family, Baby Belinda, and the Leslie family. Restore them to health speedily according to your will. Keep us in the ark of your church until your final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Elizabeth, Jordan, Haley, Lane, Jack, Corinne, Kenzie, Roger, Jerry, and Max, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called. Boldly confess their sin and look to their Savior for salvation, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank you for the holy things that make for peace, the cross of your Son, his resurrection from the dead, your blessed word of forgiveness, the washing in your holy name, the feast of our Savior's true body and blood. Grant us your peace through these means of grace, that we may dwell in you forever. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty and everlasting God, because you love to show mercy, hear the prayers of your ancient people that acknowledging Jesus Christ, the light of truth, that we may be delivered from darkness through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Therefore, with angels and archangels, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Blood of Christ, shed for the nations, for all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you. thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Church before the race also.
Okay. Thank you for being here.